what have you got against religion? Something we often get asked. And I thought I'd start with a little heartwarming story, which is that I once helped when I was at college. I helped to organise a meeting on religion at my local teaching college, which had C of E affiliations, and it trained new teachers and new RE teachers, amongst other things. The speaker that we got up for this talk was Dick Donnelly, and he gave value for money as ever. He delivered a rousing tirade against religion, and he ended with the famous Diderot quote, which looked forward to the day when the last king was hanged with the entrails of the last priest. This went down with the audience somewhat lukewarmly, as the audience was made up mostly of nuns who just clapped politely. Later in the bar, I asked Dick what he thought of the discussion that ensued, and he said, I won't do his accent, he said, "I don't know why I even bother. Logic doesn't work with these people. It's like banging your head against a stone wall." And I think that's something we can all relate to. Arguing doesn't seem to do any good with religious people. And in fact, studies have been done that show that the more that you attack a belief system, the more it's likely to entrench and resist change. So this makes me wonder if we are going about it in the right way. Maybe sympathy might be more effective. After all, we wouldn't be against religious people in socialism. And many of them, after all, do have quite similar values to us. Is there a way that we could possibly drill down below the surface superstition and get to the sort of commonality of core values underneath? People also criticise us for our intolerance of religion. With many religious people, they say, have quite harmless views, and what's the point of refusing to admit that they can be socialists as well, or at least be in the Socialist Party? It's been pointed out to me that socialists can't always claim to be rational people. There are times when we're all irrational, and that being the case, if we're not always rational, what exactly is our problem? So this is a question about, not about whether we like religion or not, because obviously we're all atheists, but looking at good ways and bad ways that people have found to handle the religious argument. So has anybody got anything to suggest?
Say a word, Paddy.
Oh, please go ahead.
A certain amount of experience of people with religious ideas applying to join the party, because for many years I've been a member of the Membership Applications Committee, which looks at online applications by applicants, which are the majority these days, have been, you know, in the years that I've been on the Membership Applications Committee, people who, when it comes to the last question, the questionnaire, you know, people have to are asked to answer a questionnaire, and last question is, what is your what are your views on religion, and how do they relate to socialism as defined by the Socialist Party of Great Britain? A significant number of people say they are religious, and it's not common that's the only sticking point. The vast majority of people who say they're religious have also got. It turns out they have other objections to the socialist case. That's what emerges anyway in their answers to the various other questions. There are a small number who seem to be very, very much in line with our views, but I've got this sort of sticking point, which is religion. And I personally, depending on the views they express on religion, I tend to be fairly soft on this. And the view I take is that people are in agreement with the case we put for socialism, but say they believe in God or have got some kind of religion. And I would sort of, and my view is that that shouldn't necessarily be a deal breaker. But as long as, you know, if we let, if they come into the party, they're likely to realize quite quickly their religious views are not in line, the view that there's a something supernatural that we should sort of, you know, acknowledge or look up to, isn't in line with socialist ideas. They will sort of, you know, as it were, leave that by the wayside. Or if not, they probably won't. They'll probably leave the party because they'll see that there's something fundamental, fundamentally different in their view of the world from that of the Socialist Party. So what I'm saying here is that there are a lot of people around who are very much in sympathy with us, but who sort of can't let go of this idea, sort of programmed idea, that there's something beyond, there's something greater that, that we should somehow acknowledge. I mean, I won't go on for too long, but I've sort of looked back at the various questionnaires that people have filled in over the years, some of them, and their answers to the question on religion. And, you know, some of them say things like, belief in religion is a hindrance to the implementation of socialism because it divides the working class, tricks them into a belief at a time in the next world. Well, obviously, that's you know, pretty much in line with what we'd say. But people say various other things. People say, I'm a socialist, but I think people should feel free to believe in their own religion or any other belief. What do we do about that kind of answer? But he also wrote, religion is related to the heart and has not any role in political affairs. But he also wrote, I think religion is a personal choice. It never interfere with our political party, etc. These, on the whole, aren't people who are sort of very much opposed to our views in other ways. Some of them got one or two other objections as well, which, you know, we may say they, you know, they wouldn't be comfortable in the party. But some of them, you know, seem to be very much in line when it comes to their take on the points that are raised by the questionnaire. Okay, just a words there on the experience of seeing membership applications from Africa.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. That I mean, one of the things that he's quite curious about us as an organisation is that there is such a spread of views on this. I think every year when the Membership Applications Committee produces a report, I think, as Howard's been saying, religion is one of the top objections, or our attitude to religion being one of the top objections. On the matter of some religious people having views very close to ours, I remember once getting in the days when people used to hitch lifts everywhere, I got a lift down to London from this lorry driver, and I can't remember how it came up, but he started saying, "Oh well, I advocate for a world without money, with production for use and equality, and no classes and all that." And I said, "Good heavens, are you a member of the SPGB?" And he said, "No, I'm a Jehovah's Witness." So there was a kind of meeting of minds at some level there. I'm also mindful of a long debate that took place between the two biologists, Stephen Jay Gould and Richard Dawkins, on this question. And Gould took the view that science and religion could be what he called overlapping magisteria, that in other words, that an accommodation could be reached at some level, whereas Dawkins took the sort of diametric oppositional view that if you subscribe to the one, you completely rule out the other. What do members think about any of this?
I think, yeah, it's really useful, the examples you've given and the examples Howard gave, because what they illustrate is what an incredibly broad concept religion is. And this is what I think was the problem. My gut instinct is to take a hard line on this and to say, look, either you think human affairs are in the hands of human beings or you don't. And we do, and we think that the human beings can create the kind of society that they want. And religious people get on their knees and pray to a god to do things instead. But that's over simple. It's over simple. I mean, Buddhists, you know, are they religious? And if they are, do they fall into that category that I'm describing? I'm not at all sure that they do. And that would at least remove those grounds for saying, sorry, this isn't compatible with party membership. So I don't know where we go from there. I mean, maybe just have to look at it in a more nuanced way. And I mean, I would have a lot of admiration for an applicant who said, what's your attitude to religion? It's too broad a question because there are too many different things that can get called religion.
I mean, religion around the world, if you look at Russia, the Orthodox Church is part of the state system right here. In Israel, you've got the Jews and the Orthodox Jews, and the ultra-Orthodox Jews get looked after, and they don't have to work, and they just read the scriptures all day, and they can have 7 kids in the family, and the state pays for it. So you look at religions like that, and then you look at Iran and places like that, where you've got the Ayatollah. I mean, they all run based on capitalism, even although there's different religions. But there's a lot of religions that are part and parcel of the state, really, and make state policy, really, you know. So, I mean, I know it's not as bad in the West, but I mean, even in America, you've got quite a large number of people believe in God and, you know, support Donald Trump, really, you know. And they see that as a part and parcel of being American, really, you know. So I think we should oppose religion, although some people, obviously, you know, they might have all the socialist ideas, but still might believe in a God. So I think you've just got to debate with them, really, you know, see if you can convince them that it's nonsense, really, you know. But, I mean, religion has caused loads of problems in the world. And I'm talking about states doing terrible things, like what Israel does to the Palestinians and things in the name of religion and the state or whatever.
Yeah, but Dougie, you know, you say we've got to debate with. Fair enough.
Yeah, we've got to debate them. Yeah.
But you know, Boys are with me here at the moment, and he just made the point to me, Ron. But I'll repeat it anyway. That for many people, religion is part of what they are. It's part of the sort of very fabric of their being and way they relate to other people. You know, it's to do with upbringing, obviously. And you know, a prime example of this was. Another application we had some time ago from India, from somebody who, believe it or not, was a Sikh. And he applied, and the application was great. You know, he answered all the questions exactly as you'd want him to. But on the final question on religion, he said, "I'm a Sikh, where I was brought up, etc." And it's something which is fundamental to me. I replied putting the same kind of arguments as Keith recommended just now, the kind of arguments we normally put to people who they're socialist but religious as well. He replied to say, "Sorry, I can't possibly contemplate the idea of renouncing my religion, of not being a Sikh." And I could empathise with him 100%. And you know, as a result, he joined. So, because what I'm saying is that. What Joy's saying, anyway, sometimes the religion people have is fundamental. It's so ingrained that so much sort of part of who they are that they can't contemplate sort of leaving it behind, even if they, in a sense, don't believe in it. In terms of, you know, somebody up there, you know, looking down on them and sort of answering all the questions.
Can you guys hear me okay? I'm on like the butt. I don't know if it's like too fuzzy or not.
Oh, it sounds fine actually, Jordan.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was just going to like dip in on that. I just feel like the whole idea of like religion, I feel like bottom line, you either think that we have complete control over our destiny. I mean, virtually, or you don't. You know, either you think there's somebody in control of this stuff, or you think that we are, you know, and we can do something about it. And I mean, I definitely feel like there are people who probably have share a lot of views with us outside of that. But like, I feel like that's one we just really can't compromise, because again, it just comes down to, it either comes down to idealism or materialism. You know, it comes down to science, you know, facts, provable facts, or just like belief, you know? And like, I mean, there's certain beliefs that are fine, but I just feel like that's one that's just so fundamental to like how somebody's worldview is like influenced.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, with the Sikh guy, did you press him at all on what it was that he felt he couldn't leave behind? You know, was it some particular belief? Was it some practice or whatever? Did you go into that at all?
No.
The reason I ask is that it may be that there are some aspects of what he would call his religion that we wouldn't see as an obstacle to being a socialist. It would depend on what his answer was.
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually. Yeah. If it's just sort of certain rituals that he thought were absolutely essential. Yeah, it's a very good point. I don't think I did, to be honest. Maybe I should go back to him. I've got the application and say that. Or I could send the application to you, maybe, Keith. Yeah.
I could give him the analogy from my own case. I'm a congenital supporter of West Bromwich Albion. There's nothing I can do about it. I couldn't leave that behind.
I mean, interesting that, because I remember once having a conversation with somebody at the place I work and talking about people who go to watch the local team, Swansea City and so on, and, you know, the mentality of them. And he said to me, it's like going to church. And that sort of hit the nail on the head, really, yeah.
Sikh guy is asked to, no, I don't want to.
You are.
No, but if a Sikh guy is asked to give up his turban and cut his hair, hello, it's a huge ask. Is his identity?
Yeah. I suppose by way of excuse, I should say, is that when you get applications and start engaging in correspondence with people, only so much you can do, actually. I mean, sometimes these correspondences are going for a long, long time. So, yeah, I mean, in retrospect, maybe that's something that we could have followed up. Yeah.
I'd like to follow up on something Jordan said about, you know, ultimately who is in control of our destiny. Is it us or is it some hidden god? But actually, that's not even quite as straightforward or as clear cut. What about a situation where someone says, I believe that God wants us to establish socialism, but he says that we have to do it for ourselves. Now, actually, that's not a made up example. That's precisely what the lorry driver told me. He said the reason why the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, set up all these kingdom halls, and they go to all these kind of obscure places in the world. And the reason they do that is that they've got this very clear agenda that humans have to establish what he called heaven on earth, which, you know, from his description of it, it sounded not a million miles away from what we would be talking about. But he says that they have to do it. God isn't going to do it for them. They have to do it for themselves and for the human race. Well, you know, frankly, I couldn't care less what other things Jehovah's Witnesses believe, apart from the blood transfusion thing, which is a bit silly. You know, it just seems self-defeating for us to turn away people who want what we want and are prepared to work for it.
That's fair. I mean, I definitely understand. But I guess my question to that person would be, like, how is that even involved with God then? Yeah, we're doing all the work. Man. How do you have? I don't know. I just have a lot of questions in that. But yeah, I feel you. I guess that makes sense.
I think what's emerging from this is that we're the people in this today are suggesting that the party is a bit too hard line on religious belief. The other people on the committee, I mentioned the Membership Applications Committee, three of us on the committee, and no doubt that over the years there have been many people, maybe two or three applicants who I would have said, yes, you know, the chance, get them in the party. All right, they've got these religious beliefs, but they'll either soon lose them or they'll leave the party. Let them in, but the other two are sort of more hard line in that. I think that sort of reflects quite sort of closely the view of the party and its membership as a whole. I think, but there you are, because you know, in taking this line, we're excluding a large number of people who. And be attracted to our ideas.
Something I've heard in the past is that actually there are religious people in the party. It's just that they keep quiet about it. I've also heard that there are people who've occasionally voted, for other parties, Labour usually, in the odd election, but keep quiet about it. Well, we don't know, do we? We have no idea because they're not saying. But realistically. It's quite possible that there are religious people in the party. Maybe our view ought to be, well, we judge people on their socialist understanding. And, you know, if they have any religious sort of predilections, we'd probably encourage them not to voice them in the party. But otherwise, we wouldn't necessarily be bothered.
I'll give you a concrete example. Many years ago, there was a guy who was a member of the Birmingham branch. He was a member for 11 years, and for quite a significant part of that time, he was a Unitarian minister. Now, Unitarianism is so nebulous. People call it a religion, but there's no specific thing that you have to believe to be a Unitarian, except some vague principle of toleration. Now, the question was raised whether this guy should be allowed to continue his membership. Birmingham branch actually debated it and passed a resolution that in the opinion of Birmingham branch, religion as defined by Comrade McGuffey is not incompatible with party membership. And I think they were right. By the way, he went bad ways. He moved from being a Unitarian minister to being an Anglican vicar. By which time he voluntarily left the party, probably a good thing.
I must say, I do find it hard to think that, I mean, you've given an example, I know, Keith, people are likely to be in the party for a long time if they are religious in any kind of conventional. If people join the party, they're going to come into contact with ideas, with a view of the world, which is diametrically opposed to the idea that, you know, there's somebody of their directing things, so to speak, you know, a sky fairy, as they say, and they'll either want to carry on believing that and leave, or.
Sorry, I think you dropped out there, Howard, a bit.
Sorry, I got disconnected. I think I'm back again.
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right. I think I've said what I wanted to say there, anyway.
We didn't quite catch the end of what you were saying.
Believe it or not, I don't remember. I think I was saying that, you know, if people persist in having conventional religious beliefs in any way, then they're not likely to stay in the party for long because they're coming into contact with other ideas which are so diametrically opposed. I mean, what Keith just said about the Unitarian member. I suppose you could say the same thing to a certain extent about Quakers. I mean, we had an application recently from a Quaker, very good application indeed. And he said, he's finally, he looked as though, you know, he was a sort of shoo-in for the party, but his answer to the final question on the questionnaire was, I am a Quaker. Most of us believe in living in harmony with the environment and with other people, and that everybody should be equal. Very religious, that. I'm sort of very much morally and socially commendable.
What happened with that application?
Good question there. I'm not sure. I have to check. I'm pretty sure he joined in the end, because what happens in these cases is that we then respond with the applicants, and you know, sometimes you know, you correspond and say, look, we don't think think there is incompatibility between religion and socialism, and sometimes they simply don't get back. Not a lot you can do about that. That's quite a recent one, actually. I will check up on that.
Well, maybe we should just take the view that we shouldn't turn someone down automatically on the grounds of religion, but only if the religion clashes with the case for socialism and the need to take action for that case. I mean, for example, I've got another friend who's a Buddhist, and I can remember having conversations with her. Well, you know, she'd agree with pretty much everything I said about the socialist case. She didn't have a problem with any of that. But the thing was that she believed in reincarnation, and although that in itself, again, wasn't, I didn't see that was a particular problem. What she then said, I was a bit stunned by. She said that she was putting off the any action for social change to the next life because she thought that dealing with a difficult mother was enough of a challenge for this life. Now, that by itself, I think, would be the deal breaker, because if someone isn't prepared to do anything, then what's the point of them being in the party? But then, having said that, possibly 2/3 of our members might be Buddhists in that case.
Well, it would be nice to be able to believe in reincarnation, because you'd stand a better chance of living in a socialist society, wouldn't you?
Yes, you could have another crack at it.
Another crack at it, yeah.
Yeah, but as Joy just said, you can't choose what you come back as.
Well, yeah. I remember our comrade Mike Taver was saying, you know, what we do agree about is that no matter ever goes out of existence in the universe. So he said, you know, you might come back as a copy of the Socialist Standard.
I mean, do we actually have an official position on this, like a conference resolution or something like that? I mean, I think we all just assume that there is a rule, but is there?
I'm sure there isn't. I'm sure. Well, I'm just saying, sure there isn't. I certainly don't know of a rule. Certainly not a rule, is there? I mean, it's somehow different. I mean, if you look at the list of questions on the party questionnaire, something different about this one. There's something sort of, I don't know, something personal about it, in a way that there isn't about the others. I mean, it's clear that we don't support reformism. There have been lots of sort of party resolutions about that, and party conferences, etc., etc. But there's something sort of a lot more personal, a lot more individual about questions of people's religious beliefs. It's so much more to do with people's internal life, the way they've been brought up as well. I wonder. I always feel it fits uncomfortably on the questionnaire. And I don't think that if we removed it, we'd suddenly be flooded out with religious people.
It's also where you draw the line, isn't it? I mean, lots of people believe in astrology. I know my mum does. I've got friends who believe in homeopathy or crystal therapy. I mean, are we? Where do you draw the line? Are we saying that those people couldn't be party members?
Well, I think, I mean, those examples are all different, at least from mainstream religion. You know, if you think of the C of E or the Catholic Church, I mean, they are major participants in the capitalist system. And that I think that sets apart that kind of massively powerful, rich, organized religion from the question of, you know, some particular nutty beliefs that an individual might have. I think that, you know, the former is something to be taken very seriously by the party and opposed, and the latter not necessarily so.
And what's interesting is about that is that we don't seem to, as a party, we don't seem to have one view of religion. There seem to be multiple different arguments, but some of those arguments do apply to things like homeopathy and astrology. Just that we reject them on the grounds that they're nutty arguments. So what you're saying, Keith, it sounds like we could take a position and say we only oppose religions that are state religions and which back up the capitalist system, but we're not bothered about these these fringe irrational beliefs.
Yeah. Something like that. Religions which have some significant social presence or social powers.
I think we also, it's an interesting expression, used, Paddy, fringe irrational beliefs. Probably all got some, in some cases sort of unrecognised. I've got one or two beliefs that people would consider sort of irrational to do with medicine, for example. I won't go into them now. I'll prove them one way or the other, but I'm sort of inclined to think certain things about the way disease is treated, for example, which is very different from what most of the people would consider scientific. I think that qualifies me from being a socialist.
Well, fingers crossed, eh?
Being in agreement with the socialist case, I was just doing that, actually.
Well, that's just getting down to the core of it, isn't it? Is that we can believe in sort of small irrational things, they're harmless, and they don't affect our understanding of socialism. So maybe we need to sort of finesse our position on religion a little bit. Maybe that seems to be the way we're sort of drifting in this discussion.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I mean, I seem to accept that. As I say, I don't think that represents the sort of, you know, the overall position of, if there were to be some kind of party vote on this, I think the majority would be more hard line than we seem
to be. I think, yeah, I agree with that, and I think it's a pity that in this discussion we haven't heard from anyone who holds that very hard line position.
You're just about to hear from somebody.
Right, <okay. laughs> right on cue.
I wasn't going to intervene in this, I was listening, but in 2003, the party passed the following resolution with only 12 people against it, that this conference endorses the editorial committee's reply to a correspondence letter on May 2002 Socialist Standard and holds that it is a good brief summing up of the party's position. The Socialist Party takes a non-theistic, materialist approach to things, in particular to society and social change. Religious people believe in the existence of at least one supernatural entity that intervenes in nature and human affairs. Socialists hold that we only live once. Religious people believe in some afterlife. Clearly the two are incompatible. That's the 2003 conference resolution.
Well, it's a good example of only looking at hardline religion and saying that's what religion is. You know, there are all kinds of people that you could describe as religious who don't hold the core beliefs that are specified in that resolution.
Well, that's the resolution. That's the party policy.
It was changed.
But, you know, but Adam, for example, Quakers believe in an afterlife.
Do they?
I don't think they do, no.
No, I remember the case that you mentioned before. He said he was a Quaker atheist.
Right, okay. I mean, Quakers, it's sort of... kind of what can you call it, in a light, isn't it, that sort of characterizes their way they see the world, the way they pray, if you can call it praying.
We mean Cliff Begley's famous statement that the kingdom of God is within you. Yeah. Before he resigned.
Not for that reason, though, did he?
Well, I think so. Didn't they? After this resolution was passed, Robin Cox and two or three others left, and Cliff Begley was one of them.
Ah, yeah, Robin Cox. Yeah, of course, he's back now. But I think Robin Cox left on the grounds that in excluding religious people, automatically excluding about, what was it, 78% of the 78% of the population.
Yes, so, I don't think he's religious himself, no.
Oh, no, not at all. No. Oh, it was just the... thought it was bad, what you might call tactically.
But I mean, that to come back to some of your original cases, if somebody says, I mean, we admitted somebody to our branch who said, I'm not religious, but I'm not prepared to argue with somebody else not to become religious. So we thought that was all right. And there are other examples of people that, for instance, if somebody joined, if Robin Cox wasn't a member and he rejoined and said, I admit religious people into the party, would you turn him down on that ground, even though he's not religious himself? I mean, but if somebody is religious, I don't think they can be admitted, because in the end they can't help it. I mean, we've admitted somebody into the party who's a keen animal rights person, and he won't lie down on our forum. He's trying to convince other members to support animal rights and not be cruel to animals and become a vegetarian. So if we let religious people in, they won't be able to hold themselves back. They'll start trying to convert the rest of us to their religion, you know. So I think they're best left as sympathisers.
That sounds a lot like a bit of prejudice there, to be honest.
Well, you'd be surprised at how many people in the party hate religion because of what it did.
Well, we've certainly got the hard line represented in this discussion.
Well, try that, because in case there's a visitor here who might get impression that we're soft on religion, and we're not.
Yeah, well, I don't think somebody that was in the party with some sort of religious belief is automatically going to try and convert everybody in the party. You may as well say that, well, you mentioned vegetarians. Vegetarians in the party don't go around trying to convert everybody else. I only do it to annoy you, Adam.
I know you do. I reply to annoy you. I don't do it for that. I do it because we're not a vegetarian party. people, you can become a vegetarian in the party. Anyway, that's a different argument. I think it would be something similar in some cases. Besides, I mean, the main point has been made that the sort of religious people we don't want in, people we don't want in, is people that don't think the working class can emancipate itself, that it needs some external, you know, superior being to intervene or ask for permission or something.
Yeah, which is less than the totality of people who are called religious.
Yeah, well, I mean, Howard's made this distinction before between having spiritual views and having religious views. And there's a borderline there, of course. I mean, you can worship nature if you want to, I suppose.
Well, what seems to be emerging here is that the Socialist Party, at least as far as religion is concerned, is, if I dare make the pun, a broad church.
Yeah, we're not a sect. We're not a sect. Anyway, I wasn't going to intervene. because Caroline has listened to this, and that's why I've switched off the microphone. So I'll let you continue.
No, I mean, I think that's a useful intervention because reflects a sort of, as I said, a slightly more hardline view that many members have. Fine, I mean, there's no reason why there shouldn't be sort of differences in people's views on certain topics, especially topics like this. Obviously, if there were differences on other more fundamental topics, we might look at that differently. You know, if there were differences, say, on whether at the next election we should support one of the capitalist political parties or another, rather than not support any, then either would be absolutely fundamental. But you know, this matter was not as fundamental.
And maybe the way to go is to look at is to treat organized religions the same way as we treat political parties. If somebody's in an organized religion, we look at what their religion says, and we accept or reject them on the basis of what their religion says. That would rule out the state religions, but it wouldn't rule out non-aligned people who had a, you know, sort of collection of various vague superstitions. Does seem to be emerging from this, or from the conversation, is that the hardline rationalist view doesn't seem to be being represented here. Whereas we've heard members argue quite often that you have to be a rationalist, that the socialist case is a rational case, it's an evidence-based case, and that we can't accept somebody who has any sort of beliefs that are not evidence-based. But clearly, we know that we're not rational beings. We accept that we've all got little foibles that aren't evidence-based. So maybe that's the way to look at this.
I mean, I don't think everybody's like 100% rational all the time, but like I just feel like even if you came to all our conclusions, but like all our same conclusions, but for through religion, I feel like that's a really shaky base to build all your like beliefs and stuff, because it's like it's just not provable. Like I guess my thing is just how devout are you? That's really like what it is at the end of the day. I mean, obviously, I feel like majority of like Christians or whatever aren't 100%. In on it. Like they're just like, I feel like they just like it just comforts them to some extent, and like maybe they feel like
sorry Jordan, you're really breaking up quite badly. Let me just try and change the server setting here.
No, I'm here. It might be my internet connection.
Actually, that was better then, Jordan. Do you want to just try saying that again? Because we lost practically everything you said.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what was I saying? It's like, I just feel like it just really out there. Like, you know, obviously I feel like a lot of people.
We're losing you again. Well, I'll just take out one thing that Jordan was saying there about people basing all their beliefs on their religion. I wonder if that's maybe a bit of an assumption that we're making. Keith mentioned West Bromwich Albion, but clearly he doesn't base all his beliefs on or support of West Bromwich Albion. Could it be that some religious people, it's a belief that they have, but it isn't their core belief, it's something that they also believe, and that they could very well have socialist beliefs not based on their religion but alongside their religion. I wonder if that's a realistic proposition. It rings true for some people I've met, and in that case the objection wouldn't be the one that Jordan said. It wouldn't be them basing their political views on their religion. It would be something that they were just carrying along with them.
Yeah, I think that's a very good way of putting it. And it, you know, I think that underlines that, that what we have to do when we come into contact with people of this kind is we have to drill down and say, okay, now, what is it actually that you believe? What difference does this make to your life? And in some cases, the answer is going to be something that's just incompatible with a socialist stance, and in others not.
Perhaps going back to something Howard said. Howard, yeah, just something you said earlier. In your experience on the membership application committee, I think you said that there aren't that many religious people that apply to join anyway. So if we changed our policy in about religious people, it wouldn't really make any difference. Is that the case?
Yes, I think it is. I mean, quite a lot of people who answer yes to the question of are you religious or not, or what's your attitude to religion, quite a lot of people who apply do say, yes, they do have religious belief in some form or another, or at least they don't, you know, it's definitely all right, compatible with socialism, etc. But very few who say that kind of thing are in sort of agreement on some or many of the other questions as well. So, I mean, I don't believe that we'd, if we were to sort of say, right, we're not going to ask the question on religion, so it's purely a private matter. But I think if we did it like that, I think, I don't think we'd get many more members, put it like that, because, you know, quite a few people who are religious would also be, if you like, incompatible on other grounds. You know, on a few occasions, I've thought it was a pity that we, you know, we've sort of missed potential members for that reason. And was it altogether necessary?
Yes, and arguably the situation we're in, we don't want to be turning people away who might be good active members for spurious reasons. After all, they might be able to work a miracle.
I think somebody said that if somebody says, I'm an atheist, but, somebody has, I've sort of, a few of the answers, sort of, with a few of the answers here that people have given over a period of time on the religion question. One person said, I'm an atheist, but I think religion is a personal choice. We brought up that kind of before. Or do we sort of then delve into that? We say, what do you mean by that? For atheists, saying that, you know, do we say, are you saying that it's all right for religious people to be party members, etc., etc.? I'm not sure that we should delve into that.
Well, I would say that we should have. I mean, the person who says that religion is a personal choice, I'd want to ask them, well, in that case, do you think it's okay if somebody makes a personal choice to join the Catholic Church? And if that is the sort of thing that they mean, then I think that's incompatible with a socialist orientation. But, you know, there are other answers they might give which would come out with a different result.
Okay, yeah. Point, yeah.
Adam, did you want to say something?
No, I just wanted to say I wasn't going to speak, so I thought I'd better so that people have all points of view expressed. I agree with the last thing that Howard says, that if somebody says, I'm an atheist, but I think religion is a personal matter, they could be admitted. As long as it's their religious views that are important.